Welcome to the jungle on a tremendous Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. I know some of you did, and some of you did not. Let's come together. Let's get it. My name is Jim Rome. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55. With the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes, you want to see rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. All right. Let's get it. 1-800-636-8686. I hit you with that right now because I've got open phones. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you saw the guest rundown. I've got two guests, and I'm efforting a third. The first guest is coming up at 9:40 Pacific time, 12:40 Eastern. It is Charles Davis, CBS NFL analyst. We're on to the championship games now. He breaks down what he saw, what we all saw over the weekend. Charles Davis coming up in hour number one. In the second hour, we talk some Ohio State basketball. The head coach there, Chris Holtmann. And I'm efforting a third. You know what that means, right? Normally, we have three locked in. Normally, when we get to air and we do not have a third locked in, we find a third. But on that off chance that we do not secure it, I will interview one of you clones. The clone with the best athletic story gets a Q&A with me. Now, I do put that out there. Generally, we hustle up and find a third. But in the event that we don't, have your stories ready. I will interview one of you. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on social media at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Or you can email the program at rome@haveatake.com. All right, those are the interviews. Let's get right at it. Divisional weekend generally is the best weekend in football. At least it has that kind of reputation. 8 teams, 4 games, the best of the best. Now, if we're being honest, this time around, the first two games of the weekend were not that great. They weren't that same number of holy crap moments that we've come to expect from the divisional weekend. Then came Cleveland at Kansas City. And here comes my guy, Andy Reid, needing to bring a wheelbarrow to work every single day to cart around his onions. My man's got a massive set of stones. Nothing but respect for Big Red and the way he called that game, especially in the fourth quarter with a backup quarterback in the game. And not just any backup quarterback, but Chad Henne. Chad freaking Henne. If Patrick Mahomes is a cheat code, playing with Chad Henne in a playoff game is like playing without a controller. It's like trying to plug a Super Nintendo controller into a PS5. And yet my guy, Andrew Ryad, was able to do just that. You know that old saying, right? The old saying about a great coach, that he can take his guys and beat your guys. And he can take your guys and beat his guys, right? You know that. Well, yesterday, Andy Reid took nobody's guy and beat a damn good Browns team. But before I get to everything that went down in the fourth quarter, I need to take a moment to talk to my people. I need to talk to my people. C-Town. Pull up a chair. Let's wrap. Let's chat. Now, I'm going to spare you the line about how you've got nothing to be ashamed of, even though that's true. Nor am I going to say something truly hack like, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. You know why I'm not going to do that? Because yesterday sucked. I mean, it really did. The Cleveland Browns, the team that nobody believed in outside the 53 men in that locker room, and the one right here in this studio, went into Kansas City, and they had the defending champs on the ropes. That game was right there for them, right there for the taking. They were this close to advancing to the AFC Championship game. This freaking close. In fact, I'll go a step further. They didn't even play their best game, and they were still right in it. They were still right there. They made mistakes. They had drops, and they were still right freaking there. But there are no consolation prizes. No. This Browns team went big game hunting this year. They weren't just looking to reach the playoffs or just get to the divisional round. They were looking for the Lombardi. And they were this close. That's how good That's how tough this team was. And yes, they inspired an entire nation. They restored everybody's faith in humanity. But again, there are no consolation prizes. They're not going to make up a trophy for themselves just to make themselves feel better. Because as Baker Mayfield has been saying all along, this is the new standard. This is not a fluke or an exception. This is what is to be expected. And they're going to get right back on that grind. They'll come back even better next season. Stronger, better, faster. And did I say better? And I can't wait. I cannot wait. Oh, and one more note on yesterday. From a Cleveland perspective, man, they got robbed. They got jobbed so hard. And I'm not saying that because I'm the one that built that Cleveland Browns bandwagon. I'm saying that because it's a fact. I'm saying this because late in the first half, they got absolutely screwed by the worst rule in football. No, that's not fair. That's not right. The worst rule in sports. All of sports. Down 16-3 with less than 2 minutes to go in the first half. This happened.
Shotgun snap, drops back three, left tackle block, cocks his arm, throws down the near sideline, caught at the five, diving to the pylon, Higgins near sideline, and
it's going to be a touchback, Kansas City. He reached for the goal line, fumbled it out of the end zone.
He sure did. Had he held on to the ball over the pylon.
Daniel Sorensen comes over, and he hits him just short of the goal line.
Followed by a fumble that went through the end zone, which by rule results in a touchback. First down, Kansas City.
Unbelievable.
Exactly right. Westwood won. You know, I'm not sure what's worse about that play. The fact that Kansas City was not flagged for illegal use of the helmet, or the fact that Cleveland got jammed by the single worst rule in the history of sports? Answer, it's both. Man, that rule is so bad. That rule is terrible. But the lack of a flag was a truckload of salt into that wound. So instead of Cleveland getting a touchdown and looking at the possibility of heading into the half down 16-10 and getting the ball to start the second half, they lose the ball, they don't get the points, and then Kansas City tacks on a field goal before halftime. Again, the rule about the ball being fumbled out of the end zone and going to the defense really is the worst rule ever. I mean, it's idiotic. Seriously, there is no comparison. The catch rule thinks that that rule is moronic. If you fumble out of bounds on the one-inch line, you get the ball on the one-inch line. If you fumble 2 inches later and the ball goes out of bounds, the defense gets the ball. How does that make sense? I can answer that for you. It doesn't. It never has. You can't reward the defense for not touching the ball, let alone not recovering the ball. I mean, it's like deranged. And the worst part is, we know it's a terrible rule. Everybody has known it's a terrible rule for years, and yet it still exists. And yesterday, it bit the Browns in the ass. But as much as yesterday was about that horrible rule, it was about another rule. All right? It was about the horrible rule, and it was about this rule. This rule being that Andy Reid rules. Man, my man is the absolute best, isn't he?
All right, Jim, you're the best, man. Thanks.
No, dude, you are the best, Andy. You are the best. It's not even close. It's you and everybody else. Stop saying I'm the best, Andy.
All right, Jim, you're the best, man. Thanks.
Man, stop saying that, Coach. Stop saying that. Nobody better than you. And there is no better example of him winning a playoff game with Chad Henne as his quarterback as evidence that Andy Reid's the greatest ever. Like, I know everybody wants to say that the only reason that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy are having the success they're having right now is because they have a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback in Patrick Mahomes? Mahomes? Except yesterday, Andy and Eric proved that all wrong. Because yesterday, this happened.
Third and one, Mahomes takes it himself, runs laterally on the 45, looks for a block, dives as he got to the number, and on that bad wheel, he tried to move, and Mac Wilson hit him. Mahomes is slow to get up on the near side. Very slow.
Oh, he can't stand up.
Look at him.
He may have a concussion. They're going to have to take him out for an evaluation. At the very least, they're going to take him out for an evaluation.
Oh, Trent, you're right.
Because he went to stand up, and he nearly fell over.
Mahomes, in fact, is so rubber-legged right now that his arms draped around the athletic trainers as he is trying to regain some weight on each leg. And now he walks away under his own power like he's just shaking the cobwebs free and walks to the sideline. But he's going to have to leave.
That was scary. Very scary moment. So Mahomes goes into concussion protocol. Chad Henne comes into the game. I mean, seriously, Chad Henne. and Andy Reid figures out a way to win that game. And no, I'm not here to bury Kevin Stefanski for punting on 4th and 9 from his own 32 with 4:19 left in the game. I mean, he was going up against Chad Henne. Henne had just thrown a pick on the last possession. It was a terrible pick at that. So if you're the opposing team, you want to get the ball back in his hands because good things are bound to happen for you. And sure enough, the Browns defense gets to 3rd and 4 almost immediately. A good thing was about to happen. And yet somehow, Andy and Eric managed to avoid those good things happening for the Browns. Instead, they managed to make great things happen for themselves. Henne completes a pass for 5 yards and a first down. Then Cleveland gets that huge Myles Garrett sack on 2nd down. Then you've got them 3rd and long, exactly where you want it. 3rd and 14, and then somehow, some way, this miracle happens.
Here's Henne in trouble, trying to run for it. Running, he's going to dive for it! And the mark is going to be close. Oh my goodness, I can't believe they let him get him free, and I think they've spotted him just shy. It'll be 4th and a foot.
In the AFC Championship game, putting your body on the line, I think he's going to get it. That's what Patrick Mahomes does, and sends Kansas City, I think, to the AFC Championship. The champs are still around, Jim.
See here, hold on a minute. This will tell it right here. It's going to be short. Now what do you do?
He almost sent him to the AFC Championship.
Almost. Jim. I heard the almost.
One of the damnedest things I've ever seen. Like seeing a lunar eclipse and the northern lights at the exact same time. Chad Henne scrambling like that was a freak of nature event. It defied so many laws, and yet it still happened. And then my guy, Andy Reid, goes absolute legend on 4th down.
Go ahead and quarterback sneak it, motion him back, try and draw him off sides, and then take a timeout. You walk up there and say, no play, everybody. Don't jump. There's no play. Just look at the body language.
Ready? It's
up. Oh, there is a play. Henne rolling out, throws it. Hill! And the Chiefs are heading to the AFC Championship game.
Only Andy Reid gets it shotgun on 4th and an inch. And throws the ball
with his quarterback.
There's no way. He shocked everybody.
Watching that live, I thought Tony Romo was going to have a heart attack. He was so shocked and so fired up. It was incredible. Because Andy Reid didn't go for it on 4th down with Patrick Mahomes. He did it with his backup quarterback. And not just any backup quarterback, he did it with Chad Henne. And he did it at midfield. Like, if you don't get that, you're giving the ball and every bit of momentum back to the Browns on a really short field. That was an absolutely massive play call. But then again, to my guy Andy Reid, it was nothing at all.
There was no doubt. I mean, there was no doubt. I think everybody knew we were going to go for that play on our side. I'm not telling you that in the world here, but on our sideline, guys just went, hey, there's no tomorrow. Let's go. I mean, let's roll.
Man, we should have all known. He's right when he says there was no doubt. There was no doubt on our side. I don't know about the rest of the world. Man, the rest of the world should have known. They should have known. We should have known. That's why he's Andy Reid and none of us are. That's why there's only one Andy Reid. That was a big time play call by Big Red. And that's why they're moving on, because Andy Reid is a freaking legend. And because Andy Reid loves Javier's. How do I know? He told me on this show after I saw him at Javier's.
I love the place. I mean, I love it. And you said it. There, you always see people in there that you don't expect to see. I was as excited to see you as you were me. So, I mean, we haven't talked in a long time. And we used to talk all the time and for no reason other than I moved back to Kansas City here and it was kind of a new start. But it was great to see you and your family's phenomenal. I mean, you had a load there now. People don't realize that that was a long table you had. You have a beautiful wife and Janet. Your son, he was beaming, man, 17 years old. It doesn't get any better. Living in California, eating at Javier's, 17-year birthday, and I mean, come on. How much better does it get?
I don't know, Coach. Going for it on 4th and 1 the way you did at midfield? This guy is so amazing. Andy Reid. And let me correct one thing he said. He said in that conversation that you just heard that he was more excited to see me than I was him. Biggest lie ever. Nobody has ever been more excited about anything than I was to see Andy Reid that night at Javier's in Crystal Cove. And then I got to say, man, you know I'm all about America's team. You know, nobody has been riding with them the way I have been. Front and center, shotgun on that bandwagon. If they got to go down, if they have to go down, and they have to go down the way they did, may as well be to my guy, Andy Reid.
All right, Jim, you're the best, man.
No, coach, you. And America's team. So the Chiefs, back in the AFC Championship game. In C-Town, you know, there are no consolation prizes. It sucks. That was tough. So I want to get into all that, and I want to get into the entire weekend. 1-800-636-8686. Today, of course, is Martin Luther King Day. I have thoughts on that, which I will get to a little bit later on. In addition to that, Buffalo. How y'all living, Mafia? Man, that place was jumping, wasn't it? 6,700 people. Yeah, if there were 6,700 Rickin' Buffaloes, there's no way 6,700 people made that kind of noise. But they did, and I'll recap that as well. And in the meantime, as I'm efforting a third guest, be thinking about what you would say or what you would do if I interviewed you. Are there any athletes listening? I mean, hell, if you're a professional athlete and you're listening, you'll probably get through. It'll probably be you. But on the off chance that a professional athlete does not want to be on the program today, if you're an amateur, if you're somebody who had a great athletic career that came to an end, today might be your day. 1-800-636-8686. Charles Davis coming up later on this hour. Chris Holtman coming up next hour. And who knows about that third? Might be you. So, quick question. Why is it that Old Trapper beef jerky is so amazing? Well, there is something to be said, for instance, for a family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use only the finest ingredients, from their lean strips of beef seasoned with top quality spices to their real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and Old Trapper jerky comes in four amazing flavors: Old Fashioned, Teriyaki, Peppered, and for those who need a little more zing, there's Hot and Spicy. All chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings and to provide real sustained energy. Old Trapper is just a better way to snack. Make Old Trapper part of your weekly grocery list. Keep a good supply on hand for you and your family. If you don't see it, just ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Obviously, coming off divisional weekend, I've got thoughts on all the games, Bucks, Saints included. Brady v. Breeze 3 didn't exactly turn out the way we had hoped. Well, if you're a Bucks fan, certainly did. But in terms of that matchup between two of the best to ever do it, not exactly what we anticipated. Remember, Monday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, where you get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Be sure to ask your question right there, and I will answer one of them later on. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Some pretty good reaction. Phone calls, not what I expected either. Do better. 1-800-636-8686. It's a great day. I mean, coming off that weekend, it's almost impossible not to have a strong take. Pick up the phone, lob me a telephone call, get up in the rotation, and I'll get you on the air. The reaction looks like this. Hey, Jim, Chad Henne leading the Chiefs to the AFC Championship game. Huh? Regards, one day everyone will work for Hawk. Signed, Mike in Buffalo, helping him. That's true. That is one of the reasons why I hired Hawk. Because a radio executive in Los Angeles who Hawk worked for told me, oh, let me tell you about this guy. Quote, one day we will all work for Adam Hawk. I said, really? She said, yeah, he's smart now. This guy's really smart. I said, did you just say that one day we, like all of us, you, me, everybody, Craig Kitchen, we're all going to work for Adam Hawk. She said, that's what I said. I said, dang, I better hire this guy. Mike in Buffalo, helping him. Dear Jim, being an NFL quarterback is all I've ever known my entire adult life. I am honored to be ranked among such greats as Tom Brady, Joe Montana, and Peyton Manning. Although I will certainly be enshrined in the Hall of Fame, it was with great humbleness that I walked off the field with my wife and children after likely appearing in my last NFL game ever. Legendarily yours, Chad Henne. Wore Ritz staying loose in the control room in the event that you one day bump heads with flight deck and have to enter concussion protocol. Signed, Denlesk's future first-string emailer, because anything is possible.
Anything's possible!
All right, two things here. Number one, Henne may not have played his last game. Patrick Mahomes is in concussion protocol. And if you look at what history tells us, generally, don't hold me to it. I'm just saying, generally, it takes guys a minimum of 7 days to come out of that before they're cleared of the protocol. That game this coming up weekend will put him right about that mark, right about 7 days exactly. In fact, 7 days exactly. So maybe he walks, if you're lucky, KC. Maybe he walks right out of protocol, right onto the field, and then does what he does. But he has to pass through protocol. There's a specific protocol. So Henne may not have played his last game. And in terms of me possibly smacking domes with the flight deck and going into the protocol, yeah, I don't know. I think that camera I walked into that one day, that rigid steel camera, hurt even more than me walking into the flight deck's rigid, gigantic dome. I could be wrong. Chris, no longer in St. Pete, tweets, the fumble in the end zone, going out of bounds, that rule sucks. Signed, DoorDash's refund policies. Don't know about the refund policy, but I can't lie, I did hit the dash last night. And I regretted it. Not because it was the dash, but because of what I ate, what I consumed. Rome Slice, we agree. Andy Reid has huge stones. Regards, people with calcium compounds in their bladder. Geoff and Lincoln. This guy's weighing in on what I said about that being the worst rule in all sports. Rome, the worst rule in sports is no bum smack. It's not a rule in sports. That's a rule in the jungle. And a good rule. I don't know. It just seems to me you probably don't want to talk junk about people who are homeless. Not only is it bad form, it's like the worst idea ever. It's bad karma. Worse than bad form, it's bad karma. You know what's bad form? Let's go make fun of that guy. He's hungry. Let's go make fun of that guy. He has nowhere to live. Extremely bad form and even worse karma. JC in Calgary is in, quote, Tom Brady is a system quarterback. The name of the system is G-O-A-T, GOAT. He was not at his best, but he didn't need to be. Not when the Saints kept giving it to them. Man, nothing more tired than, we just got to win the turnover battle. Right. Nothing more tired than that, but nothing more true than that either. Especially when the opposition converts three of those turnovers into touchdowns. Dear Rome. So, James Kelly went 1-for-4 on his NFL picks. Wow. Respect. Signed, Trevor Price.
Double it.
There's a callback to my guy. Again, if this were so easy, everybody would do it and everybody would live in a mansion. If it were so easy. If it were so easy, a former NFL great like Trevor Price would not have missed 7 picks in a row on our podcast back in the day. It's hard, man. James Kelly had an amazing run throughout the regular season, but when this thing turns, it turns quickly. But when it turns, it can turn quickly the other way as well. I'm looking at the big head's body of work. Tough weekend. But you knew Bills Mafia would be coming for him, and they are. This one's directed at the head. Hey, big head, how did those 3 points you got with the Ravens work out for you? We could have doubled that number, and you still wouldn't have made it to double digits. Our defense showed up and played their balls off. Remember the old saying, if you want to be the man, you have to beat the man. Well, the Ravens MVP got beat by the next MVP. The Bills Mafia are ready. Bring on the Chiefs. Wore the Bills' first Lombardi in 2021. Wore the Bills' D, trucking fools. John in St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Hey, John.
Now you're just dumping salt into that wound. Most of what he said was true, though. Except for the reigning MVP getting beat by the newest MVP. Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP. Josh Allen's a stud, though. I tweet it all the time. He's a legend. What a great matchup that's going to be. But now we wait. Now we wait to see about Patrick Mahomes. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, I definitely want to get into the Packers. I want to talk about the Packers. I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. I want to talk about Matt LaFleur. And I want to talk about them being back in the NFC Championship game. But this time, it's at Lambeau. Big difference. Charles Davis joins me when we come back. But first, here is it.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Coming off divisional weekend. Man, you've got no reason not to call, right? Either you're really happy or you're really down, but you've got no reason not to call. Phone lines are open in the U.S., in Canada, no matter where you are, 1-800-636-8686. I am live. I'm in Southern California, and those phone calls are coming up. But first, we are joined by an NFL on CBS analyst, an NFL Network analyst, a Madden analyst, a friend of the program. He is Charles Davis. Charles, it's been a minute or two since you and I last spoke. How you doing? How's life for you right now?
I'm doing well, Jim. We're all battling the same stuff. Everyone's battling, right? And I certainly hope you and your family are well, and everyone who can hear our voices and see you on TV is feeling the same way. And look, I'm still optimistic 2021 is going to be better than 2020, although we have had a little bit of a rocky start to 2021. But we'll get right. I do believe that is our country.
You know, I agree with everything you just said. Charles Davis is joining us. I certainly do. You know, this was your first season with CBS, so let me ask you about that really quickly. What was the transition like for you, and how much fun did you have as a new member of the family?
Had a blast, an absolute blast. And I know that's the simplest, easiest thing that you can say, right? Especially if you want to continue your employment with someone new. But this time you can strap me up to the lie detector test. You can hit me with the sodium pentothal. Had an absolute blast. Could not have landed in a better place. Better people that I work with, better people that I report to. And look, if you can't work next to Ian Eagle and raise your game and work next to Evan Washburn and raise your game, then something's wrong with you. And I left a very good situation standing next to Kevin Burkhart. So for me to go from there to where I am now, phenomenal first season. I couldn't be happier.
So glad to hear it, and not at all surprised. Charles Davis is joining us. All right, let's talk about some of the matchups. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills. Charles, they have been so explosive offensively. We know this. That said, how impressed were you with the way the defense showed up against the Ravens?
Beyond impressed, because Ian and Evan and myself did the Bills-Colts game. And Jonathan Taylor and that Colts offensive line did a nice job running the football. And in this game, you would have expected a team that's built to run the football, their whole identity is to run the football, would have more success doing what they normally do against a team that just struggled with it the week before. Didn't turn out that way. I thought Leslie Frazier, their defensive coordinator, is getting some deserved kudos. And those players picking up their game, elevating what they're doing. And look, Jim, we know about Jerry Hughes coming off the edge. We've known about that for a long time, right? Mario Addison has put numbers together in recent years in Carolina off the edge. I thought inside is where things really jumped up for them. Trey Edmonds, the middle linebacker, his game has really increased over the last half of the year. But inside, Quentin Jefferson, Vernon Butler, and I thought Harrison Phillips, who struggled for most of the year, I think his last two games have been two of his better games of the year, and that helps slow them down in the running game.
Charles Davis is joining us. All right, then. You know, I've been so impressed by what Josh Allen has done over the course of the year and how far he's come from when he first entered the league. When you watch Josh Allen right now, what sticks out to the most, or what does stick out the most to you about him and his play?
I think, Jim, for me, it's just the rapid maturity. Not that Josh was immature as a player. Remember, you know, you and I talked, and I think we actually talked the day the stuff broke about his tweets. You remember that way back when?
Yes.
That they found right before the draft. And it's one of those things that, look, everything in life we all have to own, but we also have to have context with it. And the Josh Allen I knew from my time covering him, you know, that was a kid who did some things that you would say probably shouldn't have done that. Really simple, right? And you look at the context of that, and then look at how his team embraces him. Have you heard about one single thing about that team? Anyone have any hesitancy with him? The answer is no, because of who he is, how he is as a person, how he leads. And I just think that maturity, and I know that last year we had those great shots of him that weren't great for him, but in the playoff game against Houston, when they're up 16-0 and then the lead started to go away and the body language wasn't great, right, and the look on his face looked a little shell-shocked, we've seen no evidence of that this year. And I'll just leave it to this, Jim. How many times have you and I talked about quarterbacks, talked about accuracy in college? If there's a question, does it get better in the NFL? And in three seasons, his accuracy percentage number has gone from what it was as a rookie to where he is this year, and that's 16 percentage points. That's unheard of in NFL. Absolutely unheard of.
Charles Davis is joining us. You know, to that point, Charles, you and I have talked about that, and it's just like this assumption, or everybody's accepted this as fact, that if you're not that accurate in college, you're just not going to be that accurate in the NFL, and he is so much more accurate in the NFL than he was in college. So how do you explain that?
I think a ton of hard work on his part, first and foremost. He has, I'm not going to say remade himself, because that's too strong. Because we didn't take away the arm, did we? The arm
right.
is still there. And boy, that arm is built for Buffalo. It's going to cut through anything. But the footwork is better. The understanding of where the ball should go and the anticipation of throws, that has increased. I think that Brian Daboll gets a lot of attention for that, and he should, because I think the two of them have worked together to retool it. Whoever he's worked with in the offseason, you know, I think it's Jordan Palmer. They've done a fantastic job. But he's put it into play, Jim, and it says, and we use the golf swing analogy all the time, but it's apt. His motion and everything that he's done in his work, it's okay on the range, but will it repeat under pressure? And for Josh, it's repeating under pressure. And let's not kid ourselves either. Stephon Diggs coming along to open things up for everyone else as well as take on the pressure of being wide receiver one, that hasn't hurt either. But the last thing I'll say, Jim, the lasting memory for me last season with Josh wasn't the playoff game. It was the game against New England, essentially for the division title. And you remember Dawson Knox coming open in the end zone, and Josh put it about in the 10th row?
I do.
We didn't see much of that this year, did we?
No.
He really has worked on it, really has increased. I just think what he's done is truly phenomenal, because look at the numbers of quarterbacks over the years. They don't increase by 16 percentage points in accuracy from college to the NFL. It is absolutely unheard of.
And they love him, and they respond to him, and they go into battle with him as well. Charles Davis is joining us. All right, so we'll wait, Charles, and see about Patrick Mahomes. In fact, we'll wait the entire week. But what are your early thoughts on the Buffalo-Kansas City matchup?
Oh, it's a matchup I think that Buffalo actually loves. You've got the underdog role. You're playing the defending champions. They jumped you pretty well in the regular season. Even though the scoreboard doesn't quite indicate it, you saw that game, Jim. Did you ever have any doubt Kansas City was winning that one?
Right.
Zero. Right? They were in control all the way through. Plus, they ran the heck out of football in that game. People forgot that. That was a game where Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy saw, okay, you're going to play two deep? We'll run it. And they ran the heck out of it in that one. So if you're Buffalo, with the confidence you're bringing in this playoff run, what are they now, 11-1? Since a loss in midseason to Kansas City, they feel good about where they are right now. The key thing for them is going to be, can you slow down the track squad outside enough that Kansas City takes the bait a little bit and tries to run it, and then you clamp down on that. The last game, it wasn't really bait as much, but Kansas City never veered away from it. They stayed with it, and they ground them up running the football. As long as they don't let that happen again, we've got game on. I mean, absolute game on. And Buffalo's playing with more momentum right now, I think, than Kansas City is.
Charles Davis joining us for a few more moments. Charles, what about Kansas City advancing on the strength of Andy Reid and his decision-making? Man, he goes for it on fourth down to keep the ball. What did you make of him making that call and having the confidence to do so with a backup quarterback in the game at that time?
Well, he had a call that he absolutely loves. I thought that in the game, Tony Romo pointed out very well that this is the type of call that he likes to make. You know, that's a staple type of a call in that situation. And it's something that he knew was in Chad Henne's repertoire and arsenal. The other part is, as an offensive coach, how do you want to lose a ball game if you're going to lose it? Lose it with your guys doing their thing as opposed to turning it over to your defense. And to me, I really wasn't overly surprised, even with a backup quarterback, because momentum was still pointing towards Cleveland moving the football against his defense. And that's a defense that's good. But it reminds me a lot of the Colts with Peyton Manning. They're built to play with a lead, and then you turn them loose. A little bit different when they're slugging it out, down in and down out. I think Andy just said, I'd rather go out this way. And in this case, it worked out. And you know what the contrast is, Jim? If you take it to college football, remember Pete Carroll against Texas? Everybody said, punt it, punt it, punt it deep. He felt like there was no way we're stopping Vince Young no matter where he gets the ball. I'd rather take the chance. Lendale White comes up short, and Chung sticks it in the end zone, and they win. In this case, Andy gambled and won. No major surprise, I don't think, to any of us who watch Andy Reid coach, though.
No, definitely not. One quick thought. Tom Brady is going to his 14th consecutive championship game. Charles, you've been around this game a long, long time. Just how unreal is that number?
This is beyond unreal, Jim, because we're in an era of that Pete Rozelle set in the motion of parity. Everyone being 8-8, and he's somewhere celebrating that. And Tom Brady has said, I see you're 8-8, and you can stick it in your ear. It's not happening. That's why it's so different. It's not like the old days with the dynasties where the rosters were the same, and you and I could count that we could give each team the roster every year for 8 to 10 years. It's not like that anymore. 14 times, and he went to a new team and took them there again. Give him whatever kudos he wants. He deserves them.
We're on to the championship games in the NFC and the AFC. He is an NFL and CBS analyst. He is an NFL Network analyst. He is a Madden analyst and a friend of the program. He is Charles Davis. Charles, I appreciate you, my friend. Great to have you back. Thank you so much. Great job.
Always great to talk with you, Jim. You take care of yourself, and I know we'll talk down the road.
You know it. You too. All the best. Charles Davis joining us. All right, so I've got some time on the back end right here. If you want to jump up in here, I've got Chris Holtman coming up next hour. Bucks and Saints. I want to get into that. That number is amazing, right? 14 conference championship games. So Tampa Bay advances. He was not at his best, but he didn't need to be. He did, Brady. He did what he needed to do. If Drew Brees goes out, and that's not official just yet. The speculation is he's played his last game. Watching Drew last night and seeing him after the game, he was acting, carrying himself as if he was somebody who had played his last game, stayed on the field, was there with his family, waved goodbye to the fans. If that's the way he goes out, you hate to see one of the best ever to go out like that, playing a game like that. But at the same time, has there ever been a player who got more out of what he had? And I'm going to say literally in any sport, than Drew Brees. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's self-actualized. You want to talk about a guy who's maximized his potential. You want to talk about a guy who left everything out there. Like, I don't see how a guy like that could ever have any regrets. Because you're not going to regret it if you gave absolutely everything you had to it. Like, Drew Brees could never say, man, I could have done more. I should have done more. I could have worked harder. So I hate to see a great, an all-time great, go out the way he did, if that, in fact, is the way he goes out. But at the same time, how can you feel anything other than awe and respect for the guy, given who he is and the kind of career he had, when he had been left for dead? So if that is it for him, I hate to see him go out turning the ball over like that and losing like that again. And that's the way it's been for New Orleans the last few years. But what an amazing career. Let's go to Green Bay quickly. Jim in Green Bay. Good to have you on, Jim. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Rome. Thanks for the phone call. Hey, I want to give some props to Coach Matt LaFleur of the Packers. Man, two seasons, he goes 13-3, North Division champs both years. Now he's in the NFC Championship game again. He had a great game plan against the Rams, executed by the players wonderfully. He didn't try to come up with anything fancy or anything that they don't do well. They just went out there and used the strength of those running backs, that offensive line, and Aaron Rodgers' brain, and they just picked the Rams apart. And I also want to say that Green Bay's, we're welcoming Tampa Tom in on Sunday, and I sure hope that that warm Florida sunshine has softened that guy. When he comes up here, it's going to be nice and cold, 25 degrees, maybe 60% chance of snow, and I've seen some really great quarterbacks freeze up in the day up here in Green Bay. And I sure hope that happens to him. I'm out.
Nice job. It's a good phone call, actually. Jim in Green Bay, I agree with everything he just said. The colder, the better. The colder, the better. Why do you think Aaron Rodgers used to say, man, if we could just get one of these games here, if we could just get one of these title games here, and now he's got it. The colder, the better. Now, let's not act like Tom Brady is some dome quarterback, or Tom Brady's never played outdoors. I mean, the guy did spend his entire career in New England, in Foxborough. He knows cold weather. But having spent the better part of an entire regular season in Tampa, he also did say, man, I'm never going back ever again. I will never go back there ever again. Hey, listen, why do you think all those snowbirds flock to Arizona, man? It's tough to be old and cold. Brady, especially. We'll see. That actually was a pretty good phone call, considering how bad that call started. Jim in Green Bay. Good to have you on, Jim. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Rome. Thanks for the phone, please.
You're welcome, I guess. Man, my man rallied, didn't he? That call started terribly. I've got Chris Holtman coming up next hour. Open phones next segment. Stay tuned.